Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can shout, we can rejoice. We thank you for victory in Jesus. We thank you for salvation in his name. We pray, Lord, that today, as we come to this service, we're thankful for all that you have done for us. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. And for those of us who know you as Lord and Savior, we thank you for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, helping us, leading us, guiding us. And we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we have as a church. We pray that today, as we hear your word, as we look at these great promises that you have provided for us, Lord, that we might understand clearly what it is that you want to teach us today. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we have in your word and with one another, and we pray that you would bless this time now that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, good morning. It's John chapter 3 is where I'd like for you to find your place, and we're glad that you're here with us on this Thanksgiving weekend, and hope you've had a great time with your family. Many of our people are traveling, and some are out of town. We pray for them as they travel back. Today we finish what we've been talking about for some time, about the precious promises that Jesus has given to us. These precious promises are going to be valuable to all of you, no matter what age of life you find yourself in. These promises are for all of us, for all ages. Most of what we've looked at together are promises that Jesus has made to his followers. Today we look at, I consider, the greatest promise in all the Bible. You see from the place I've asked you to turn, this famous verse, John 3:16. John 3:16, Jesus is the one who's speaking here. And these red letter words of Jesus, he was speaking to a religious man whose name was Nicodemus. And so Nicodemus had come to Jesus, and Jesus said to him earlier on, these are familiar words to most of us, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So I would say to all of you today, no matter what you're pursuing, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, you must be born again. You must be born again. And when you start life anew, it's a different kind of life. So we're going to focus on this precious promise, John 3:16, the greatest of all the promises in the Bible. We're going to make three observations about these words of Jesus. And I hope there'll be a challenge for you and a blessing to you. You see, this greatest of promises has also in it a great warning. This great promise has in it a great, great warning. And my prayer is that I'll be able to describe for you adequately what the Lord Jesus wants us to understand here today. We are glad you're here. God bless you for being here. If you'll stand now and honor the reading of God's word, I'd like for us to read together John chapter 3. I'm going to actually pick up a verse before what is on the screen, verse number 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, we have sought to worship and honor you. We've sought to express our praise and thanks to you. You alone are worthy of our praise. You are the glorious one. You are the Almighty. You are our Savior and our Lord. But now we ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to understand your word today. May it make a difference in our lives as we leave this place so that we might be faithful followers of Jesus and witnesses for you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today we look at this wonderful promise and we learn something very important. Number one, let me point this out to you. This is the foundation for this entire promise. Eternal life comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life comes from faith in Jesus Christ. The hardest thing about preaching familiar verses is that all of you are hearing these words, but you've got to force yourself to concentrate on what's being said. These words are very familiar to us, but I don't want you to allow the familiarity to keep you from understanding the absolute powerful promise that Jesus makes in these words. For God so loved the world. In fact, in these verses, if you look in your Bible, we have the word world in verse 16. We have the word world in verse 17 three times. The world. The world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, or maybe your Bible reads, whosoever, whoever believes in him. Let's stop right there. Whoever believes in him. A number of years ago, had the opportunity to meet a group of young men. They're music evangelists and preaching evangelists, young men in their 20s. They were called the Whosoevers, still out doing it these days. A rough kind of bunch, rough crowd, come from a lot of hard backgrounds living out there on the West Coast. But they all came to Jesus and they decided that they were going to go and share in all kinds of various ways in the Los Angeles area the gospel, and they call themselves the Whosoevers. Why? Because they make up, they are an example of the Whosoevers. You see, this promise, are you listening to me? This promise is for the world. This promise is for the Whosoevers. The whosoevers, no matter what their age, old and young alike, and the middle age in between. The whosoevers who live all around the world and speak multiple languages. The whosoevers who have a lot of education or no education. The whosoevers, like Nicodemus, a religious man, or people who are absolutely irreligious. The whosoevers. The whosoevers who can barely read and the whosoevers who love to read. The whosoevers who have no money and the whosoevers who have plenty of money. The whosoevers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him. You see, this is where it all starts. This is where it started for you if you're a follower of Jesus. You started your relationship with Jesus by believing by faith. In fact, all of these promises that we've talked about in the previous days were all based on these words. Over and over, we read over the past weeks from Jesus and his red letter words, "If you believe in me," he says, "you will be accepted. I will accept you. If you believe in me," Jesus promised security. No one will take you out of my hand. If you believe in me, my Father and I will come and we will make our dwelling in you, promising a lasting, permanent relationship that's as real as the relationships you have with the people in this room. His promise, if you believe in me, brings friendship with God. When you believe in me, we are friends, Jesus says. When you believe in me, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you, the helper. I will send a helper and he will be with you. You see, as a result of believing in him, there's acceptance, a relationship for all of eternity with the Lord Jesus that never changes regardless of our circumstances. A friendship with Jesus. Is Jesus your friend today? Are you friends with Jesus? Acceptance, the Holy Spirit's help, and then that wonderful thing of joy. Because everybody in here is going to have some hard times. You may be in one of those seasons where the ground seems to be a little level, but soon it'll start uphill or it'll go downhill. And then it'll be back. But you see, joy is calm delight. As Paul said, sorrowing, yet full of joy. That's the contradiction that the world never understands. So today we come to this promise for whoever. And some of you in this room have not yet heard this promise. For God so loved the world, the whosoevers are in the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, for the whosoevers that believe, they will not perish, but they'll have eternal life. There's a great verse, and I won't take time for you to turn to it, but in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, Paul says, the scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Did you hear that? So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Galatians 3:22. Oh, faith in Jesus Christ is not like a fellow was telling me. I was talking to him about knowing Jesus and what it means and how you must put your faith in Jesus Christ. He said, look, I know all about Jesus, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about knowing about Jesus. We're talking about putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered to him? Have you confessed your sin? Have you confessed him as Lord? Like Paul said, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, now he's going to be in charge of your life. He's going to direct you in what you do, where you go, what you say, how you live. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. None of us were there at that empty tomb, but we've read it in our Bibles from those eyewitnesses were there. And many, many of us have believed Jesus is risen from the dead. You will be saved. You will be saved. You will come to have eternal life. Eternal life. Life of a quality that you'll never have without Jesus. And people are looking for life, aren't they? Looking for life. Trying to find some way to make sense out of this world and meaning out of this world and having some kind of purpose in their life. And only real purpose comes when you know Jesus. Eternal life comes from faith in Jesus Christ. It's the promise for the whosoever's. The whosoever's in your family, the whosoever's that sit by you at work, the whosoever's who go to school with you or live in your neighborhood, down the road, the whosoever's. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. But there's a second thing I must point out to you here today. These next two things, we can rejoice and celebrate eternal life. What a promise. But I'm going to prepare you for this. What I talk to you about now is a warning. It's the warning of Jesus to the world. It's a warning to whosoever. And it's a warning to us. Jesus never said anything that wasn't true. What Jesus spoke, all of it was truth, God's truth. We don't like some things that are God's truth. We like some of things that God's truth better than others. This, what I'm about to talk about, is as much truth as what we've just spoken of the joys of eternal life. Eternal life saves us from eternal death. oh Jesus, there's a word in here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him before he gets to eternal life shall not perish. Verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Eternal life saves us from eternal death. To perish, the word means to be destroyed. The idea is that of eternal death. Oh, it's not just dying, it's dying and dying and dying. It is eternal death. It is eternal separation from the presence of God. It is what is the fate of everyone who will not believe in Jesus. Eternal death. Eternal death. Never having another opportunity to believe in Jesus. But eternal death. Perishing. Perishing. You know, I think of all of the stories that have been recently on the television about first responders. We're so grateful for our first responders. They go in when people are in situations where they will perish. You know, in 2012, I lived in a place that burned to the ground. There were 10 houses in the area where I lived with Pat in Colorado Springs. And those 10 houses, our house was one of them, were the only houses spared on the whole side of a mountain. Every house was incinerated before I came here to be your pastor. Fire coming down the side of a mountain. The estimates were that the heat was at about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. They incinerated a house every 2 minutes. Those first responders set up their line, and had they not set up a line on a particular road, it would have burned 500 more houses, and they stopped the fire. I'm grateful for first responders. I can't get out of my mind. Every time I see a fire in the United States and look at all that mess and rubble and ash, I remember walking through ash up to my knees with several of my friends whose houses, there was nothing left. Just looking for a few pieces of dish or plate or jewelry. How pitiful. How pitiful it was. Nowhere to stay, nowhere to go. It disturbs us when people perish because they have nowhere to stay, nothing to eat. When fire comes or danger. But does it trouble us, church, for the millions who are perishing spiritually? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but that means some are perishing. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved from perishing through him. Saved from it. The church ought to be the best of spiritual first responders. We ought to be the ones who, look, you're going to go to lunch today. You're going to sit at the table with people. You're going to look into the eyes of people who, if they do not believe in Jesus, will perish, eternally die. They will die eternally. As we sang the song about being on a hell-bound, sin-bound life, unless they repent, they face perishing. Jesus always spoke the truth. And so today, we're reminded that eternal life comes by faith in Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. You see, some of us convinced ourselves that everybody's saved, but I want to remind you of what Jesus said to a religious man. You perish if you're not born again. You perish without eternal life. And the millions today are perishing. They're perishing. What do we do with such powerful verses as 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, where Paul is describing the coming of the Lord Jesus in glory, and he says, when the Lord Jesus comes, he will deal out retribution. Listen to these words, these holy words from Scripture. I'm just the preacher today. He will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Where Jesus said, a place where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. The place of eternal torment, the place of hell and judgment for those who will not believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But there's something else Jesus says. Eternal life saves us from God's judgment. Oh, you know the world laughs about this. You come to church and you listen to all these preachers talk about coming judgment. The world's idea is things are getting better. Well, you know, in my life, I haven't seen it get better. Why, sure it's better, Pastor Mike. Now you can carry a phone around and they can always find you and call you. It's all better. Is it better? Is it really better? You know, the idea of judgment is that you got to be accountable for what you say and do. Judgment day comes, which means accountability day comes. But people don't like accountability. We want to do whatever we want. We want to say whatever we want. We want to treat people the way we want. We want to carry on in arrogance and sinfulness. We don't want accountability. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So just like a man who's been before the judge and heard his sentence, he's now a condemned criminal. The same is true for all those who will not believe. But we like to believe everyone's saved. They're not all saved. They do not all have eternal life. Just because they know some facts about Jesus and God and the Bible, if they live in the Bible Belt, does not make them a follower of Jesus. They have not believed in Jesus, surrendering their life, committing to a faith walk. The just live by faith. And they are under the condemning penalty of eternal death. Does that do anything to anybody? We cry about our emotions, about things we love and our family and our friends, but are we ever stirred by the fact that people without Jesus face eternal destruction? This promise is the greatest of all promises, with the greatest of all warnings. Jesus said in John 5:24, he who believes my word and in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment. And then we turn to the back of our Bible when all of the time of history, human history, finally comes to an end. And the Lord Jesus has come, and the Lord has finished his work on this earth, and all of human history is coming to an end. We open our Bibles to the very end, Revelation chapter 20, and we read these sobering words. You can't cut them out of your Bible. You can ignore them. You can join the others in the world who believe there'll never be a time of accountability. But the Bible warns us, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. You see, that's what everybody tells me when I talk to them about knowing Jesus. I'm just going to go on what I've done, preacher. I'm going to try to just get in on what I've done. Are you sure, friend? Are you sure? The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. You don't want to stand before God based on what you have done. And if anyone's name was not written or found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Eternal life. Believing by faith in Jesus saves us from eternal death and God's judgment. You know, one day Jesus was with his disciples. He'd sent them out on their mission. They came back so excited. They said to the Lord, "We're so excited. Everything you said would happen, it happened, and it was true. Even the demons are subject to us." And Jesus said, as I close, I say it to you. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. I love you enough to ask you, is your name written in the book of life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. The others will perish. The unbelieving will die. Death after death after death forever. Some of them are your friends and mine. Some of them are in your family. Some of them are your workers. Some of them sit by you every day. Will you respond to the perishing? How can you sit while someone is dying? How can you remain silent when someone is dying? This great promise, the greatest of all, has this warning. And may the Lord give us the wisdom to cherish this promise all the days of our life, those of us who are saved, and to motivate us to go and tell others about Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word and to respond to it. Oh, today, Lord, we're reminded that promises that Jesus gives are for life and death. They are permanent promises. Promises of life and hope and joy and acceptance and friendship, but also the warning for those who will not believe. Oh, may you burden your church with the lostness of people. Forgive us for our silliness in what we are concerned about that does not matter. Forgive us when there is no burden for the lost. So today you have an opportunity to do something with your life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Your mother, father can't give you eternal life. Your heritage can't give you eternal life. Going to church isn't going to give you eternal life. You must believe in Jesus. That's where it starts. Eternal life or eternal death. Which will it be? If you're here this morning and you need to make some kind of spiritual decision about your spiritual life, you come down and meet one of the pastors and you got to come forward and step out. You got to be courageous enough to do it. Step out and come down here and say, I need to follow Jesus. I need to be saved, like the Bible says, like Jesus said. I need to be saved. Some of you have spoken to me. You want to join this church. This is the time when we stand and sing for you to come and you can talk to our pastors and join the church. So, Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would give us wisdom. Oh, burden our hearts. May we hear the preciousness of your word. May it motivate us to be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, We pray, amen. Would you stand, please? Let's sing this great old song together. If you need to come, come on. Come on right now. Whosoever.